This interview that you're about to hear with the winner of Big Brother 19, Josh Martinez, is also available in video form on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. And is presented by TrueCar. There's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can help you buy a used car as well. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. If you're tired of playing yourself, see what other people paid for the car that you want, and you can know what a fair price is, and you can feel confident with TrueCar. You can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. Using TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want and not feel like a meatball. When you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with some special Big Brother postseason coverage. And it doesn't get more special than this because we are honored to have with us the winner of Big Brother 19 here on the podcast proper for the very first time. Please welcome in Josh Martinez. Josh, how are you?
What's up, familia? What's going on?
Okay. Yes, the whole familia is here. First,
the whole familia is here.
a man who podcasts about Big Brother 19 and the live feeds every single day of the show, Taryn Armstrong. Say hello to Taryn.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, Josh?
What's going on?
I watched you and talked about you every single day, so now you're here talking
it's
to me.
It's about you.
Cool.
Too.
Let's get into it. This is
okay.
Awesome, dude.
And then also, Josh, we have a man who in the Big Brother 19 fantasy draft with his very first pick on the board.
No way.
Had the most controversial pick. Everybody said, no oh my way. God, you idiot. You wasted your pick. Here is Brent Wolgamott. He knew.
See, yes, I actually do know something.
You are a genius.
Thank you, Josh. Yes, I did pick you as my first pick. And the reason I picked you was because I wanted to be happy if you won. And I knew I would be. And God knows I was happy when you won.
Thank you, man.
Yes, Josh, you ended my like 7-win streak on the drafts here.
Brent, yes.
Brent finally beat me.
Yes. All right.
That's
well.
Awesome.
Josh, very happy to have you here with us on the live show. We're going to take questions from the chat room and anybody else who has a question for us. Hashtag RHAP. And then we'll just talk through a bunch of different stuff from your win. But I got to talk to you on the red carpet after the finale. But how have you been since you left that Big Brother compound?
Dude, it's all, everything's crazy. Everything. I step out, I get recognized. Just all the opportunities that are coming through are huge and they're amazing. It's awesome, man. I know that it's short-lived. Season 20 is coming around. I'm going to be forgotten, but I'm enjoying the moment. I'm trying to decompress. It's not happening. But I'm just loving life, man. I mean, I won $500,000 and all the love that I'm receiving. So it's awesome.
Yeah. So I see. And you have an event coming up here in a couple of weeks that can you tell us about what's going on in Edmonton?
Yeah. So I have in Edmonton, I have the ranch. I'll be there October 20th, Friday night. We're going to have a meet and greet and then we're going to party. The meatball madness party. It's going to be amazing. No other way to start all this partying by going to the ranch and having a meatball party. They have like a whole, it's crazy. They're going to have like a whole buffet for the first 100 people and it's going to be fun. So I can't wait.
Okay. You're giving away meatballs.
We're giving away meatballs. First 100 people to buy their tickets. We're having a meatball buffet.
does eating a meatball make you a meatball?
It makes you, I don't know. If you're familia, then no. But if you're a meatball and you act like one and you're corny, then yeah, it makes you a meatball.
Yeah. See, this is where Paulie Calafiore should have got in on the buffalo wing eating. He could have given buffalo wings away.
He should have done it.
It smells worse than a porta potty at the Jersey Shore after an all-you-can-eat wings competition. I mean, this thing is disgusting.
He should have ran with that.
He should have done it.
Okay.
He messed up. He played himself.
He played himself. All right. So, Josh, have you watched any of the season since you've been back home?
So I've seen clips, I've seen YouTube clips, things that people have shown me, but I have not, I haven't had to watch a season because I have all my crazy friends and all my crazy family literally breaking down the whole show for me. I do want to watch. I know that some fans want me to sit there and they want my feedback. I don't know when I'm going to do that, but I just announced my U now and I'm going to do it down the line, but I haven't watched any episodes.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think that's a good idea. I was going to, that was actually going to be one of my questions to you, Josh, because, you know, when you were in the house, you were saying that you couldn't wait to watch the show. Yeah. And then Paul, in his infinite wisdom and trying to control everything that's going on outside the house, which I think ultimately was his downfall, said, you know, no, you lived it. You don't need to watch the episodes. And then after that, after the show was over, you were saying, you know, I don't know if I need to. I lived it. I don't need to watch it. But I think all of your fans would be happy to hear that at some point you are going to watch the show.
Trust me, Josh, you don't need to watch the show. The show is Gumpy. Don't watch it.
No, guys, listen. You know, I lived the experience and I wanted to walk away from the house. You guys are giving Paul too much credit. No, all jokes aside. I lived the experience and I wanted to walk away with the memories that I had with everybody. I think that it was a lot, there was a lot of tension in the beginning where there was a lot of fights, a lot of blow up, and it became really personal. Towards the end, I kind of made up, man, Cody walked out of the house and I had nothing bad to say to him. Mark walked out, we made up. So I wanted to leave with that instead of watching back the show, seeing what they were saying in the DRs, seeing all the things that were being said. So that was my point of view of it. But now, you know, I do want to kind of see how the game and all that, because all the craziness that I'm hearing, I want to watch, but I don't think I'll watch the whole thing, but I'll pick some episodes and I'll watch them with some.
That's
of
a good idea.
Yeah, I guess it is a little bit like Pandora's box. And I'm not talking about the thing that they used to have in the HOH room, because if you're walking away from the thing, you're feeling good and, you know, you're on good terms with most of these people, then, I mean, do you really want to know, oh, OK, this is what this so-and-so said about you, or this is what so-and-so did behind your back? And it's the kind of thing where you're going to end up just getting yourself worked up again. And then you're getting into going on Twitter like, hey, just so you guys know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, I know I could think three people at the top of my head that that's going to happen once they start watching back. But that's the only reason why I don't want to get into that whole mess. And just right now, I want to enjoy that I won, enjoy some of the money, take some time off with my family. And then when I'm ready, I'll watch some episodes.
And I'm sure it's like a chain reaction. Like once one of you guys starts watching the season, then everybody's going to start watching it.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Everybody's going to, it's going to be like we're back in the house all over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do that right now.
Josh, could you give us an update on everybody in your real familia in terms of the hurricane? Is everybody okay?
Thank God. Everybody's doing great. My house wasn't affected. My neighbors weren't. My hometown, you know, some trees were knocked down and some fences, but everybody's doing good. Key West, which is like an hour, 2 hours away from me, they were hit really hard and it's rough over there right now. So I want to do things to give back and help them and, you know, try to do some relief things. My good friend has, you know, his dad's company, they're actually taking donations, water bottles, first aid kits and things like that. So I'm going to post that on my social media so that people from South Florida, if they wanted some of my fans donate and give back, we can do that. I'm going to be driving down when I come back from Canada to the QS and try to clean up and help out. But thank God, man, my family is doing great. They evacuated to New Jersey, came back. The house was good. Nothing happened. So, yeah, everybody's doing good.
Okay. That was a huge question that a lot of people were asking was like, are they going to tell Josh about the hurricane? And your family decided not to tell you. Do you appreciate that decision?
I really do.
Yeah,
I really do. I think how bad, like how immense and how crazy the hurricane was, I would have received that news. And where I was mentally in the game, I was all game. I would have received something from the outside world. I would have been completely thrown off. And I was already having such a hard time thinking about back home and constantly thinking about my family. It would give me anxiety sometimes where I would have to disconnect and just be like, this is my life for the next few days. Big Brother is my life. So if I would have heard that, I don't know what would have happened. I wouldn't have walked, but it definitely would have taken a huge toll on me. So my mom was smart on that end because I know that my siblings wanted to tell me. My mom said nope, and she didn't let production tell me. So it was smart.
Now, in terms of your experience with Big Brother, how did you end up on the show this season? Yeah.
So I tried out three times. I know that people were surprised by that. I tried out three times. I tried out season 17, 18, and BBOTT. I made it to semifinals for season 17. I didn't get a call back for 18 or BBOTT. And then I said, you know what? I saw Paul's crazy self, and I saw Justin on Big Brother Over the Top, and I said, listen, they're going to get this crazy kid from Miami one way or another. I did a video. It's literally a minute long, and I just went off. I was like, my familia and this and que hola, and then I did the whole Miami Cuban thing. They loved it. From there, went on to semifinal Skype call, and then I knew. Once I did that Skype call, I knew that I didn't think – I honestly didn't even think that I was stepping to the house, but I knew that I was in because it was constantly, and they were calling me every single week. So, and then I was in the house.
Yeah.
So yeah, it worked out good. Yeah.
Yeah. We spoke with Robin Cass on the podcast the week of the finale, and she talked about how loud you were during casting and how nuts you were going. And we definitely got to see that a few times between when you met Ika. And so that nobody's questioning how big of a fan you are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was bouncing off the walls when I met Ika and Demetri because I had just seen their season. So to meet them, I was like, what is going on? I'm a huge Big Brother fan.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of the game, but also people that play the game. So just to meet her and meet Demetri, that was an awesome experience.
Well, hold on. Now, let's go back to that because you were then outed on Twitter in a picture that Demetri had, had tweeted out. That you really got caught at least your eyes in the cookie jar, Josh.
I don't know why he would post that. He's the only person that saw that. He's the only out of all the pictures that we had, Demetri chose that bitch out of all of them. Kudos to my man, dude. She's a gorgeous girl, and in person, she's even more beautiful. So, yeah, Ika is stunning.
Impressive.
So
impressive.
Yeah, she really is. Yes. Josh, we saw you, you know, bouncing off the walls when you're going into the Big Brother house, but then we also saw you really in your head a little bit during the first HOH competition where you ultimately decided to go after the golden apple. There was a little bit of a controversy about whether or not you knew that Kevin had taken the $25,000 and thus would have had to throw the HOH competition as to why you took the golden apple. So can you clarify that for us now?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. As we know, we filmed 24 hours and you guys see 40 minutes of probably like 3 days of stuff. Kevin told me that he took the golden apple as soon as we walked into the house.
Or the $25,000.
So, the $25,000. Yeah, sorry. He told me that he took the $25,000 as soon as we walked into the house. So I knew once his name was – once we were drawing names, you know, we drew names for our teams. Once Kevin drew the name, I knew that I had to – I didn't know what I was going into, but I was like, I have this guy on my team. He's going to throw it. And then I had Jillian and Elena. At that point, I didn't know how Elena performed. It was day two. And also, you guys don't see much, man. It's crazy, but I was walking into conversations. Cody and Matt and Mark literally locked in hour one. They were locked in. They thought that they were the brigade from season 12. They weren't talking to no other guys. It was them three buddying it up. They were the boys, and they were riding it to the end. So I walked into them into the storage room, and Mark was giving me things like, ah, man, you're going to leave week one. I was giving him shit for Elena, like, hey, Elena's hot, all this stuff. It's going to be me and you. He starts giving me the, oh, you're going to go, and they started joking about that. So I was like, okay, so I'm on the outs right there. I wasn't really connecting with anybody. I knew Kevin had to throw the comp because he won the 25K. So, and I didn't come here to play it safe. If I had the opportunity to save myself, I did. And it was a benefit because it bought me 16 days in the house. And
We had podcasted about that and we had said that that was a great play for someone specifically like you who was really in your head a lot at the beginning. Maybe you felt a little bit like you were out of fish out of water and needed to grab onto a security blanket. And you know, the first week, we don't get to see the first week of the live feeds, but we get to see the second week, but because the first week's like 2 weeks long, you know, the first eviction there. And that entire time where Cody had to make, you know, nomination after nomination, you were safe from the block. So I know that helped to calm you down.
Mind you, what you guys don't see during when it's not live, Cody kept asking, he's like, can I nominate Josh? He goes, can I nominate Josh for eviction? He's like, no. Production would literally tell him in front of the whole house, no, he still has the safety. They would have to remind Cody every time that he was doing a nomination, Josh has the golden apple. He can't go on the block. So I'm like, hey, it worked out. If I didn't have that golden apple, I was going to go on the block.
Right.
The whole house wouldn't have blown up. Paul wouldn't have dependent. And, you know, I would have been home. Essentially, I would have been the first one home.
You would have been, yes.
Yeah. I had massive anxiety, dude, even before I walked into the house. I had really bad anxiety. I watched season 12 where the saboteur was in the show. The worst season to watch. If you're walking into Big Brother, do not watch season 12, please. And your paranoia will go through the roof. So I've always dealt with anxiety, but it was amplified because I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it's Big Brother. So that once I snapped out of the fact that, listen, the worst thing that's going to happen is that I'm going to be sent home. That's it. It gave me room to play my game and start building relationships.
Do you know why Kevin claimed that you told him that you had taken the $25,000? Because it seems it's a very confused, because he's saying that. And I think to this day, he's claiming that he thought you told him.
I don't know what you guys watched. That's why I want to watch the show. He pulled me into at that point. It wasn't the have not room yet. It was a room that we were sleeping in. And he pulled me in and he told me, I won the $25,000. Don't tell anybody. That helped me form a relationship with Kevin. I wasn't going to expose that. I didn't have a reason behind it. When I did expose it, I wanted to place a target on Kevin. My approach was horrible about it. We got heated, but it was to Kevin never owned up to anything. I love Kevin. We talked to this day, but he never right. owned up to anything in the game. Right. Kevin was always Kevin was playing not a fishy game, but I knew that he was feeding information to other people. I knew that he was building a friendship with Cody and a bond. I don't know how big that got, but I knew that he was covering his bases on that end. So for me, it was just shady.
No, go ahead. Well, he was definitely, maybe shady isn't the right word, but he was playing the game.
He was playing the game.
Right. And I don't even think he remembers he was playing the game, because he's talking to us after the show saying, you know, that the time that he told Matt that, you know, when he lied in front of Matt and said, I didn't take the $25,000, I didn't tell you that was his only lie. But of course, we as the fans know that that's not true, because he was telling Jillian, I'm with you guys, I'm going to vote to. And then, you know, we were stunned when he walked in the diary room and voted to evict Jillian and save Christmas. So Christmas. I don't think he remembers everything.
I heard that in an interview and I'm like, that's crazy. I knew it was Kevin. The funny thing is that I knew that it was Kevin, but Kevin put it on Ramsey's. I'm like, poor Ramsey's, dude. Ramsey's getting blamed for the 25K, for the rogue vote. And it's like, I knew it was Kevin. I don't know if they showed this on the live feeds, but I'm like, I have a feeling Kevin's doing all these rogue votes. You get me? I knew that he was, like you said, it's not shady. He was playing the game.
Right. But within the house, it was shady. Yeah.
And within the house, it was shady because I stood by loyalty. And my mistake is where I think I give you loyalty, you give it back to me in return. That's just how I was raised and who I am. And for me to see him walking the yard with Cody, you know, having these side conversations with Jess and things like that, I was just like, okay, what are you doing, Kevin? And I was taken back by it. I knew that Kevin, I wasn't his favorite guy in the house, and he wasn't always in my corner, but right. He was untouchable for me. And then once I started seeing that, it was like, all right, I'm going to call you out, because you can't own up to anything. Let's see if you can own up to the 25K. He tried to pin it on me. And it didn't work.
Right. So you give your word. You're playing the game hard the first week. Yeah. You give your word to both sides. And we thought for sure you were going to vote to keep Christmas. But then the night before the eviction, you have a conversation with the live feeders. And you say, for the first time, you start showing us some doubt that you're not sure that you're doing what's in your best interest here. What was going through your mind then?
Okay, so
because you were one of the few people that talked to the live feeders. A lot of people, even Paul, for the most part, only talked to the live feeders a couple of times. You talked to us quite a bit.
Yeah. So what I was thinking was, I was in a good position as an outsider. So you guys watched the show. You guys watched the edited and you watched the live feeds.
Right.
Dude, this 9-person alliance was not talking to anybody. Cody literally thought when he won that first HOH that he won the game. He formed his dream team and he isolated everyone. So he isolated me, Kevin, Jason, Alex, Ramses, and Jillian. He isolated us. And I'm telling you, these people did not talk to me. Raven didn't give me conversation. Matt didn't. It was kind of high schoolish. It was like clicked off and they thought that they were running the show. So I was like, do I keep Christmas? Because at that point in the game, she was with that 9-person alliance. Or do I take a shot at her? That's a number. Then it's going to be 8 against us, against the outsiders, and then we can even it out. But I started forming a relationship with Christmas during those 16 days. And instead of her work, she started giving me information, and she protected me in a sense with that alliance. She said that she would protect me. She started giving me information, their pecking order, who were they targeting. She would always tell me that I was fourth or fifth on the list. It was ridiculous, the craziness that these people were talking. And I knew as a fan that was going to blow up sooner than later. And thank God Cody thought he was Superman and took a shot at two of his allies. So it worked out perfect. I kept Christmas. It worked out for me. Made it to Final Three. So, yeah, I think that, you know, the way that they were – as a fan, I know that those big alliances never work. They never work. Like, nine people? Are you kidding yourself? And, you know, for Cody to say that he was a fan and he's the one that started the whole thing, I think it's a joke.
Okay. Josh, what's your reaction to Cody and Jessica being on The Amazing Race this upcoming season?
To be honest with you, I think that they're going to do way better in The Amazing Race that they're going to do in Big Brother. Big Brother, it's mental, it's competitions, but it's a huge social game. If you don't have good social skills, buddy, nobody's going to teach you social skills in the Big Brother house, and it's not the game for you. I think that where he was wrong was where he thought that it was just win, 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 and he didn't have to interact with anybody. He was just going to go rogue. He was going to win every single competition, and he didn't have to have social skills. He played himself on that one because I think his biggest downfall was that he didn't have conversations with people. He kind of shunned everybody, filmed his clique, and thought that they were going to make it to the end. And even that, he didn't really connect with those people. My advantage was where I did form genuine relationships, formed friendships, and people started seeing that, and it worked out for me. I think that in The Amazing Race, he doesn't have to be so social. They're a team, and they're athletic, so I wish them the best, and I hope they win. Shit, it's $1 million.
Yeah, I actually disagree that I do think you need to be social on The Amazing Race in terms – I think that's something that people actually overlook. I think that they might actually do very well, but I wouldn't be surprised if they end up getting more of a villain edit on The Amazing Race, a la when Boston Rob and Amber went on The Amazing Race, the you know, way back when, for those of you guys who remember that. Because I think when you play the game as aggressive as they may potentially play it and not really get involved with the social game in The Amazing Race, you tend to get really vilified from the other teams. And when the other teams are talking very negatively about you, you really come across as it's a lot easier to, you can do a lot less to be the villain on The Amazing Race than on, say, a Survivor or a Big Brother. I wanted to ask you also, just going back a little further into that first week, that we saw you get into it with Megan in those first couple of days. And really, this is a time before we have the live feed, so we do have a lot of questions about those first week or so.
Let's get into it. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Why did you feel like that Megan was somebody that you needed to out that early in the game?
Okay. So obviously I'm 23 years old and I'm not perfect. I feel bad that I don't know if I played a role. I haven't seen back. I have spoken to her and we're good now. And she was actually rooting for me, which was crazy. But game. And we'll stick to game. Megan, early on in the game, I don't know if you guys saw it on the show, she wanted to go against the guy. She voiced it to me in that trapeze competition where we were hanging on, where we were sitting on the side. She goes to me, I don't know if they showed this, she goes, hey, those guys are tough. I think we need to take one of them out. So I'm thinking, and Christmas joined in on the conversation. Some of the girls were joining in, and I was like, okay, this girl's a threat. Megan played the game extremely hard right off the bat. She was forming alliances. She was sitting in on conversations. She wasn't giving anybody room to breathe or even adjust to the game, just get to know each other. She played from the second that she stepped in. Instead of it playing it from a social perspective, she played an aggressive game. I saw that. Being a fan, I saw Megan's gameplay from when I saw her forming with Alex, saw her forming with Ramsey's, saw her forming with Jillian. She pulled in, I think, even Jessica and Elena. I don't know if they showed that. But they were forming the girls, and they were forming quick. So I knew that she was the head of the snake, if you want to call it. So I saw it as in, I need to out her. Now, was my approach right? No, I'm not perfect. I'm 23. I'm aggressive. I'm loud, and I'm crazy. But my intention was to put a target on her back to out her game. Right. I didn't choose the best words, and I didn't choose the best approach. But essentially, it did put a target on her back. And from a game point, that was my intent. To you know, people to see her game, and even though it became personal with her, I think that from my end it was strategy because I knew that she was forming this alliance, and she could have done a lot of damage if she would have stayed in the house. It was unfortunate the way she left, man. I think she had so much potential. She could have played a great game if she would have stayed.
So you formed a bond with Paul pretty early. You end up voting with him in that first week. And then by the second week, you willingly go up as a pawn for him and his HOH. How did that relationship start? When did you feel like you really solidified it?
Okay. So I don't know if I can get into details about this, but, before we go live, somebody touched base on it. Before we go live, we kind of have some time before we go on the live feeds. As soon as Paul walked in the door, I saw Paul's prior season. And I saw how loyal he was. I saw the game that he was playing, how he played all angles and he was always giving information. But I saw how loyal he was to Victor. And I said, if I find loyalty in that house, it's going to be huge because I know who I am as a person and I'm not going to change. I'm going to give him my loyalty in return. So as soon as he walked in, when everybody was doing that friendship thing, we walked into that money room. We thought this was going to be shown. Even in the final two, we're like, yo, when they show that handshake and that we said we were going to do this and we did it. It was crazy. But we shook hands and I told him, you don't have to say one word to me. I know your style and you'll see that I'm
yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
You guys saw that? We shook hands. I said, you see how I know your style and that you're loyal. I'm going to give you the same in return. And if you like it, then stick by me and we'll work together. And if not, then so be it. We did that. And he saw each week that I stay loyal to him. And in a sense, he kind of protected me. And that's what I wanted. I wanted for him not to feel threatened by me. But to feel as I were like I was an ally and not have anybody target me. You get me? So it worked out.
But yet you had doubts along the way. And we know because a lot of people were living for those doubts and saying, okay, is this going to be the week that Josh does it? Is Josh going to be the savior of the season and end up shaking things up? Because, you know, it got a little predictable along the way. Yeah. And so it wasn't necessarily like a clear path of you guys just like Memphis and Dan down to the end.
No shot. Listen, from early on, I knew that Paul was playing his game. I knew it. I saw it as a fan. I knew that he was doing his thing. I was like, dude, this guy's controlling this house like Derek. And one thing that's funny is that I had watched season 17 also before walking in, and I saw Vanessa's gameplay. So I was like, this guy's playing so good. But Paul never targeted me. So it didn't make – and Paul thought that he had me in his pocket. And if you guys saw my pre-show interviews before I entered the house – I wanted people to feel as if they had me in the pocket and they had control over me because they would never be threatened by me. So he felt like he had me in his pocket. So as long as he didn't target or affect my game, I didn't find a reason to target Paul early on. If anything, I wanted to align with him because I wanted him to protect me because he was a great competitor. But also I knew that, you know, he wouldn't go after me or flip this house. He had control early on, man. People just instantly fell for Paul and the love, and everybody was connected with Paul. Right. So I knew if I gave him that in return, but he saw that it was genuine, and I would point out other people. I don't know if they showed me pointing out Mark, pointing out Elena, pointing out all these people. I literally would open his eyes to all these people and the game that they were playing. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure they didn't show that. But if I showed him loyalty and I stuck by him, I knew that he was going to deflect attention from me.
Right.
And that's what you did.
Did you feel like you were his number one, or that you like he never. Was very loyal to you? Okay.
Never. I knew that I was not his number one. I knew that Paul was playing for Paul. I knew that Paul was only looking out for him, but I knew that he needed numbers and he needed people. And I knew that if I gave him that loyalty and that if he saw that's why I did the whole pawn move. I didn't think I was going to leave. And when he told, I believed in his word. When he told me, listen, I'm going to use the veto on you, I did trust his word, and he didn't give me a reason. Every time that Paul told me something, he did do it. He never deviated from that. He never changed it. Now, did I see him play a lot of people, man? Yes, I did, and I stood by some of those things. But for me, he never gave me a reason to turn on him. And if he did, and he did later on when he wanted to pull the whole two votes, the whole, you know, not get blood on his hands against Jason, that's when I was like, okay, this is where you're affecting my game. Now this is when I need to step up. Because early on, he wasn't affecting my game. He was doing all his things and pulling all the strings, but it wasn't, you know, affecting me. So I didn't find a reason to target him or go after him. If anything, I saw a line with him and stick by him, and you're going to make it far.
I think that was really developed during the week where literally your worst nightmare happens. Cody comes back into the house, and against all odds, Jessica wins HOH, and you know you're in trouble. So yeah, the feeds were down for us for the point in time where Jessica won HOH to, I think, the next night. So we didn't get to see all of that. We didn't really get to see how Ramsey's came to be the other nominee. So can you just fill us in a little bit on what you were thinking when Jessica won HOH? We saw you try to go up to the room, and they basically turned you away. Yeah. And did you think you were going home, or was it an act the entire flipping time?
Okay. So at that point, me and Paul, besides game, we did build a genuine friendship and a genuine relationship. That can be, you get me, that can be faked or anything. So I knew that he was going to look out for me, but I knew he was thinking game. He knew that I was an acid. The whole house knew that I was an acid. Once Jessica leaked to somebody that I threw her off for game, that's when I said, this Paul's going to do, and the house is going to do whatever it is to keep me, because I'm an asset to their game and I'm always going to be a bigger target than they are. So that's how they were looking at it. I didn't look at it as, in, oh, they think I'm loyal on this and they're going to keep me. I knew that I gave loyalty to some people, and I had a strong friendship with Jason and Alex and Paul and Christmas. But I also knew that the house saw me as an asset to throw Jessica and Cody off for their game. Did I feel threatened, and did I think I was going to go home when she first nominated me? Yes, but instantly, a few hours later, after I spoke to Christmas and Paul, I knew that I was locked in and I was going to be good, because I checked in with Jason and Alex. I checked in with Kevin, and I had Christmas and Paul. And then Matt and Raven came up to me in the storage room and told me, you know, we have your back. You're good. You don't have to say anything to us. And they actually told me, listen, we've seen you're an asset and we see how loyal you are. So they gave me their votes. Right. So I was locked in and I was good. And that's when the whole act came, where I just started playing it up.
Right. Go ahead.
Were you aware of how close Jessica came to using the veto on Ramsey's that week? Because she was like about to use it and nominate Alex next to you.
Yeah. And Cody dissuaded her.
I knew the whole time. And that's why I acted. That's why I literally went into the role of, I have to cry. I need to be moping around this house. I need to make these people believe that I'm defeated, that I'm done, and that I'm walking through those doors. Because if Jessica was a smart girl. I give her that. Jessica was smart. She was always on her game. And when she said something, her instincts were correct. So I knew that I had to sell to her and to the other side of the house that I was going home. So I started wearing the sweater, the glasses, and moping around. I think the worst move in several seasons was Jessica not using that veto. She played herself. That had to be one of the worst moves of the season. She would have used the veto, put up Alex or put up Paul. I would have gone home. Hands down, I would have gone home. She would have gotten another person on the other side out. And she got, essentially, we were all over Ramsey's, because we were like, Ramsey's is running around this house. He doesn't have he was literally talking to everybody. He had no real allegiance to anyone. And he was, if anything, aligning more to Justin Cody. So he became a huge threat, because he became another number.
Well, no, Paul was trying to get Ramsey's out like weeks preceding that. Week so two. Like Jessica nominating Ramsey's was just so nonsensical, because it effectively became Paul's HOH. Because if Paul had won HOH, that's who he wanted to get out in the first place, if he couldn't get out Cody and Jessica.
Yeah, I realized early on too, as you guys know, I don't know what was shown, but I realized early on too that Ramsey's was not to be trusted, man. Ramsey's was literally, I had a conversation with Ramsey's.
Hey, don't blow up his sequester game, Josh.
Oh, wait, is he really?
Yeah, he's on sequester right now.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right, so then I can't go.
No, I'm teasing. No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
We're joking.
So, dude, I realized that Ramsey's wasn't to be trusted. I love the kid and everything, but he was loose with the lips, man, and he would just go and tell everybody everything. So I knew early on that I had to get him out and that I couldn't trust him. And once he showed me that, I knew that sooner or later he had to go. When he sat next to me on the block, I was like, Jessica, you just messed up. You literally gave the house what they wanted. We wanted to get Ramsey's out. You gave us what we wanted, and you blew your HOH. Right. It went to waste.
Somewhat. I wanted to ask you really quickly about this. 1 week prior to this was when Dominique was on the block. Yeah. And I know you were really good friends with her. You were one of the few people in the house to effectively not isolate her like everybody else was doing. I know you consciously decided not to do that. You said, I'm going to have a conversation with Dominique. That's just how it's going to be. I probably felt good to have that you were in Paul's back pocket. So you felt protected, even if you did have a conversation with her. But how rough was that watching a friend be isolated from the house?
That was extremely hard. I think that, you know, Dominique, out of all people, she didn't deserve that. I honestly can say that she did not deserve that. I think that with her, it just went left real quick. I think if she would have owned up to the things that she have said about Paul, it would have been a different scenario. And, you know, we could have gone, you know, the week would have played out differently. But, you know, that's when I realized the power that Paul had in that house. And that became alarming for me. It did. I didn't voice it. I don't even think I said it to the live feeds. But that became very alarming for me. How he would tell people, don't talk to her. There's no reason to talk to her in closed rooms. And I was like, fool, you're playing yourself because I'm going to talk to whoever the fuck I want. Like, you get me? And she was a friend. So I wanted to check up on her. I wanted to see if she was doing okay. And if it got me sent home, I really didn't give a shit, man. I really didn't care because I saw the hard time that she was having.
And you never forgave Mark because he didn't do the same thing,
right?
No,
I didn't. I didn't. No, guys, listen. I know it's funny and it's comical, but I really didn't. She was closer to Mark than me. She had a way stronger bond with Mark than me. And Mark chose Elena and Paul and the house over checking up on his friend and seeing if she was doing okay. But that was just Mark playing the game, and he thought that that was the best move for his game at the time. It probably was. But for me, it was just not game related. It was on a human being level, and I couldn't see her be isolated like that. And that house turns into freaking high school, dude. It's a shame.
Right, right. So, yeah. Josh, the next week after you survive the block, then Paul gets HOH. But Jessica, during the live show, drops a bomb that she has the power to protect her and Cody that week. And this is the infamous week where we were actually getting ready to do a live show. And that's when everything went downhill in the backyard and the bullhorn and you getting into the 2-2 and with the pots and pans at Paul's direction. I know I've listened to your other interviews. I know you're not proud of everything you did in the Big Brother house, but just speak a little bit more to that and how you feel about that now, because I got a lot of questions about that on Twitter.
Perfect. So if you guys watch back, if you guys watch clips and things like that, I live the moment, so I don't need to watch. I know what happened.
Right.
I did not tell anybody to join in on bullying and attacking this girl and this guy. I didn't do that. I wanted Cody, not just, I wanted Cody to look at me and be like, this kid is so obnoxious. He is so annoying. His presence disturbs me. I don't want you to use the hex. Let them go to a vote. Use it later on for your game. I don't want to do it. So I was like, I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to bring out the pots and pans. I'm going to call him a meatball. And I'm going to have fun. Oh, God, it's crazy. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to annoy him. I'm going to drive him nuts and drive him crazy. This is a game, guys. And it wasn't a form of bullying. Cody's a 32-year-old man, and he made it personal with me from the beginning. I'm speaking for myself. Not for the house. I'm speaking for myself. He made it personal with me from the beginning. So for me, it was fair game. And I didn't call him a pussy, a loser, this and that. I called him a meatball. I banged pots and pans. And I did a da-da-da-da-da because I wanted him to be annoyed with me. And he was. I didn't want them to use the hex. Now, when Jessica stepped out and the whole house decided to call that girl out of her and go off on her, that was a whole different ballgame. I never once directed myself at Jessica during that whole argument. I was going at Cody. I was like, Jess, tell your man to step out and defend you. Tell him to stand up for you. Why does he continue to – if you are messing up – I was just thinking in the back of my head, you're literally ruining your game for this guy that has burned bridges with everybody. And I said it in the house, and I don't know if they showed it on the show, but once it got personal and the things that were said to them and some of the things that were thrown their way about just personal attacks, that's right. When I was like, all right, this is becoming awful. Like, this is getting out of hand. You know, there was things that a lot of people said that I don't even want to mention or say who it was, but there was just things that got really personal, got really childish, and that wasn't game anymore. That was an attack. I did my part, and I'm wrong for it. I never directed anything at Jessica of anything. I told her, why are you standing by this man that's not showing his face and defending you? And I was going at Cody because Cody had called me a moron, a fat ass, all these horrible things. From the very beginning,
noises.
I was a doofus. I was a doofus to him. Like, I was an idiot from day three. So I had no respect for Cody. I didn't owe Cody anything. So for people to be like, you bullied Cody. No, Cody made it personal. He wanted to have fun. And I just joined the game and decided to call him a meatball and bang pots and have fun.
I hear you on that. I think that I will tell you, Josh, that I'm like one of the rare species in Big Brother fandom, because I was a huge fan of you, but I was also a big fan of Cody and Jessica, which I didn't even think is possible, but somehow I made it possible. I think that where fans might have had a problem, just not necessarily with you, but just in general, is that it felt really easy for you to go after them when you had the whole house behind you. Whereas but if the situation were reversed and, you know, you were the person over there and by yourself, I don't think maybe you would have been going after them. And I say this with all love towards you, because I know you've left it all in the house.
100%. The funny thing is that I never asked anybody to get involved or say anything. I went head to head with Elena. I didn't need anybody to step up. I went head to head with Mark multiple times. I didn't need anybody to say anything.
That's true.
Head to head with Justin Cody multiple occasions before that argument, and nobody said anything. And even after that argument, I told people, don't get involved. I can hold my own, and this is my battle. This is my fight. Now, I can't control when people are jumping in and out of arguments, saying things to them. I don't think that's right. I don't think it was right. And I can say that. I don't think it was right that the whole house went off on them. And that must have been really hard for them. But in the beginning of the game, I don't know if any of them have the face to say it. But in the beginning of the game, I was isolated, and there was a lot of personal things that were being said about me.
You dished it out, but you also took it, not like everybody. But I think that where people got upset where this was happening on a repeated basis, and not to lay this all at your feet, was that it seems like that there was an agenda set in the house, often by Paul, of, okay, here's who's on the block this week. Okay, next week, this person is who's going out. And then everybody be mean to this person because we need to rattle them. And I think it was when a person became ostracized, I think that that was something that was not fun to watch from a viewing perspective, because I understand where it's coming from a strategic point of view, because you want to freeze that person out and not let them have any chance. But it is something that ends up being, the audience really sympathizes with that person that's left out.
And I completely understand. I mean, my own family sympathized with them. They were like, why did you go at it with them so much? And they saw the live feeds also, so they understood the backstory, my story behind it. I don't think that people – I don't think that some people had to do that to Justin Cody. I think that they didn't have a reason to do that. I did. They made it personal with me from when I kept Christmas due. Mm-hmm. I did a game move. On everybody lies in Big Brother, but you're a fan. You should know that I'm going to go upstairs and lie to you, and then I'm going to do the complete opposite. And I didn't owe you anything, Cody. I didn't give you my word. They made it personal with me, dude, week one. Calling me out of my name, saying horrible things. Oh, I'm a pussy. Right. Stop being a little girl. Stop playing victim, you little pussy, and all this stuff. And I'm like, really, Cody? All right, God bless you, dude. I wish you the best. And then I said, my family's watching. I'm not going to be disrespected. I'm not going to stoop to his level, but I'm going to drive him nuts.
Right.
That was my end behind
Josh,
it.
I have to tell you, you are amazing, because we have there's another live feeder. Her name is Melissa, and you would just drive her insane constantly. you have this ability to get into a fight with somebody, but you're acting like you're not fighting. I'm going to be you for a second, okay? This is you on the live feeds when you're like getting into a fight with Jessica. You're like, well, why are you getting upset? I'm not raising my voice to you. Why are you raising your voice? I didn't say anything. Like, right now, what are you doing? Why are you doing? Like, I mean, that is how you would be in life, and it would drive Cody
everybody knows
crazy. You're trying to apologize to me, and Cody's like, Josh, I don't want to hear about it. And you're like, I really want to apologize to you, right?
He hated that.
I thought it was just you. But in hindsight, I definitely think that there was some. I'm buying the fact that there was some strategy mixed in with how you were deciding to play your game at that point.
I think that I wish that Jess would have stepped back away from Cody a little bit, man. I knew that, but at the same, in her defense, she didn't have any other allies, and there was nobody else that she could trust. So I guess I get why she did. But she would have had a way better shot if she would have stepped back away from Cody. Cody was aggressive, man. Cody, the way that he stomped around the house,
right.
His attitude, his demeanor, the things he would say. We're complete opposites.
Even beyond that, I mean, like, you know, we saw the week that Cody was gone, Jessica was integrating into the house really well. I mean, I'm a Jessica fan, and even I said that Cody coming back into the house
ruined her game.
Not good for her game, because then she became like, it was so funny watching the live feeds, because there was always one cam on like Paul and everybody, and then there was one cam on, it was the Jody cam. There's always one Jody cam, and you could find it every night that Cody and Jessica were definitely in the house. So, and Taryn, unless you have any more questions about the Hex week, I wanted to fast forward to Josh's HOH week.
Well, on the topic of like the confrontations, we often saw you sort of breaking down after you'd have a confrontation with someone. Yeah. Do you want to like explain what that was about?
Yeah, I think that I never expected it to become so personal with me. I think that a lot of other people got into arguments, and they chimed in on arguments and said things, but I didn't think that it would. It was always personal with me. I would try my best to make it game related. My intent was to place a target on people and have all eyes on them and expose their game and, you know, have people target them. But it instantly became personal. You know, they said personal things to me, I would say personal things back. And that took a toll on me. Not only that, the aggressive, you know, they wanted to punch my face and throw things across my head, and me wanting to defend myself, just the anger of not being able to do anything, especially with Cody, of anything, that would always take a toll on me. So as much as it was strategy to expose people's game and place a target on the back and all that, I think all game aside, with me and Cody, it just became so hostile, so personal, and so aggressive to where it wasn't healthy at one point for us to be even in that house. Like, I was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I was drained of how every single time we saw each other, there was this tension where we knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to go down. We knew we were going to argue, and then people would get involved, and I guess Paul controlled it or whatever. But it was just me and Cody were complete opposites, and I wish that it wouldn't have been so aggressive with both of us.
One more question. Did you double tap?
Yes, I did. I did double tap. But in my defense, Mark always double tapped. So I was like, yo, redo the shot, redo the game. But yeah, I think it was out of hand. And they didn't, you know, I did see that clip. As soon as I stepped out, a producer showed me that clip. And it was funny as hell. But they didn't show how disrespected I felt by it. It wasn't game. No. It wasn't anything. I'm a man, dude. You don't.
No, they showed. They showed quite a bit of it. I love that. You know, did you double tap has become the new, like, was it Han or Greedo that shot first? Come on, give me a break. But I mean, it was very obvious you shot. You double tap, but it was obvious that Mark went totally batshit crazy when that happened for no apparent reason. It was we always call him the Incredible Sulk, but at that moment, he really was the Incredible Hulk.
and the funny thing is that, you know, I think the house, I was kind of the joke of the house. I was the, Josh is a joke. He's not going to win anything. This guy's a goofball. This guy's weird. This guy sucks. So I was goofy, but I played into that a lot. I played the goofy guy. I downplayed the type of person that I am. Dude, I'm very assertive.
Did you play the victim, though? That's what I want to know. Like, did you consciously decide, you know what, I'm going to play the victim here?
No? I wish that I could have played. I never played the victim. I wish that I could have played the victim or did that. What I did do was I let a lot of people think whatever they wanted of me, and I didn't give a shit. I was like, think whatever you want. Believe whatever you want. I don't have to defend it, because at the end of the day, this is a game, and whatever you think of me is going to benefit me. So if you think I'm goofy, I'm a loser, and I'm all this, then so be it. Mark had this ego and this thing of like he was the biggest man on campus from early on, dude. Especially when he aligned with Cody and Matt from the beginning, he had that aura of just like he thought he was untouchable. He thought he was safe. He thought he was this guy.
And that's going to be irritating to you.
Exactly. I dealt with Mark my whole life in sports and in everything. So I was like, dude, if you want to act like that, you don't know how I am. So you want to throw a drink in my face? All right. I'm going to hit you where it hurts. Let's make it game related, because I know that's going to affect you in this house, and I know it's going to throw you off. And that's exactly what I did. Instead of it making it a fight, and I decided to say, all right, I'm going to expose this game, call him out for something that the whole house already knows, that everybody knew already. I didn't have to say anything, but I just wanted to continue to drill it in people's minds that Mark can be trusted. And yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So you become HOH the following week after the hex is used. And Paul has already set the agenda going into this week that as long as Cody and Jessica don't win HOH, they're going to be the targets because Paul is really threatened by them. But you are entertaining other ideas as well as Christmas. So this was the first real inkling of maybe Josh and Christmas are woke. Maybe they realize what Paul's doing here, and maybe they're going to actually take a shot at somebody other than Jessica and Cody. Yeah. So, but you were saying that to us in the diary room, but it didn't always match up with what you're doing in the house. So what were your real feelings when you won HOH and who you really wanted out?
Okay, perfect. Great question. So obviously we know that on week Jessica's HOH, she took a shot at me. She made it personal. I didn't deserve to be here, all this stuff. But I knew that Jess and Cody were huge house targets. I knew that they were always going to continue to be targets as long as they were in the house. So I was thinking I can put up Elena and Mark that also targeted, took a shot at me and voted to evict me. But I knew, listen, I was onto Elena's game from BB Weather when she memorized the whole thing and she was teaching the whole house, the whole, all the lines. She was literally teaching everybody, all right, this is how you do it. So I was like, whoa, this girl's a freaking, she's a memory bank. Like, she's a threat. Not only that, when she won that walk, when she was top three in that walk right. comp, Alex's week, dude, I was like, and she cut that deal with Jason, and Jason jumped off like that. I was like, this girl's a threat. I'm like, I don't care. She needs to go. And her social game was sick. So I knew that I wanted to place a target on Elena, or I wanted to take a shot at Elena. But I also had, they can make it seem spin it and do whatever they want to where, oh, Jess and Cody were Paul's targets. But Jess and Cody also targeted me. Jess and Cody also made the game personal for me, and it was extremely hard to live with them. So it wasn't like it was Raven, and Raven was HOH, and Paul went to Raven and told Raven, all right, we're targeting Jess and Cody. No, Jess was one of my targets, and so was Cody, but so was Elena. So it was a win-win for me. I had targets spread out on the block, and I just had to work it to where it benefited my game. At that point, I did want Elena to go. Elena really was my target because before the whole blow up with me and Jess, the whole evicted, the whole spelling comp, I wanted Elena to go because Elena was getting extremely close to Paul. And I saw that and I was like, okay, this is not good. Okay. If Paul gets close to Elena, I see them going to final two before me. Right. I see him moving forward with Elena before me. So I said, all right, I need to separate that, or Paul needs to see. I need to start planting seeds in Paul's mind where he starts looking at Elena differently. And I did that in my HOH week where I pulled him up and she couldn't get out of her own way because she was throwing his name everywhere. That was my intent there, to put a target on Elena, but also have Paul realize that Elena can be trusted. And I wanted
you didn't want Mark and Elena getting back in the group more than anything, no. because at that point they were out of the group and you felt like threatened that they might find a way to weasel their way back
exactly.
in. And Paul might trade out you and Christmas for Elena and Mark if Elena is in with Paul. So you wanted Paul to see how badly Elena, well, didn't really have his best interest at heart.
Yes, there we go. Now, perfectly said. That was my intent.
Let me ask you this question, because this is a pet theory that I've had during this season. This was the only week that Christmas ever entertained doing something Paul didn't want to happen. This was the only time in 92 days that she even considered doing something that Paul would have disapproved of. Do you think that Christmas was getting jealous of the attention that Paul was giving to Elena?
I didn't even know there was feelings there. I didn't know until I stepped outside the house and I got told in an interview, so I didn't know there was feelings there. I don't think it was that. I think that she, if anybody knew my game and knew how well I knew the game, was Christmas. And she knew that I'm a decision maker. I call the shots, but Paul liked the control and it was driving me nuts. And she knew that from multiple conversations we were having. So I think she was looking out for me and she's like, listen, do what you want. And at the end of the day, I was going to do what benefited my game. But I had Paul think that, you know, I wanted Paul to feel comfortable. And, okay, yeah, Paul, we're going to do whatever you want. Where it went left for me, I honestly was going to target Elena and get Jason and Alex on board. I knew Kevin was going to keep Jessica if I told him. If I said that house, this is what I'm going to do. I want Elena gone. This is my HOH. Respect it. I'm pretty sure a lot of people would have done it. But when Jess messed up, is when she didn't give me an opportunity to talk to the damn girl. I tried. I'm like,
yeah,
Jess,
we saw.
When
yeah.
you're ready, let's have a conversation, Jess. Jess, let's talk so that I can hint at her. Jess, you're not my target. I wanted to have that conversation with her. Dude, Cody did not let this girl. She did not leave Cody's side. Cody did not let this girl talk for herself. She did not let Jess play her game. He ruined Jessica's game because she would have had a chance that week and they would have made it to jury. But thank God she didn't, because she would have voted for Paul and I wouldn't be 500K rich.
Right. And Elena wouldn't be on the jury.
Right. I always look back at that.
And Paul had a point. He said, if they go to jury, they're going to vote together and they're going to be two votes and they would have been but against me. So he did make that point. And that's when I was thinking, okay, I think Jess has to go. But when Jess got extremely childish and was in her feelings and wanted to start talking out of her ass and start saying crazy things, that's when I said, all right, girl, no, I'm not going to leave you in this house. I'm not going to go out of my way and extend an olive branch when you're calling me out of my name and disrespecting me on national television. So your ass has to go.
She
did it to herself.
Right.
Which not only was, sorry, but I'm like feeling it right now. Not
yeah,
only
that's was okay. her we veto like it.
Move,
we like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only was her veto move the stupidest move of the season, but also her not allowing herself to be social and move past whatever we had in order to further her game was a dumb move.
No, Josh, I'm a huge fan of Jessica. And I was very critical of her for just closing off all lines of communication with everybody in the house and, you know, basically just staying in Cody's lap the entire time. I felt like there was a play for her there. You know, sometimes you just have to look at your worst enemy in the house and go, "What? You know what? I'll work with you just for today, but I'll work for you." And it seemed like she wouldn't get past. I mean, and maybe she had her reasons, but she couldn't get past her own pride there.
And I understand. People were lying to you. I understand people weren't to be trusted, but you're playing big brother. This game changes every single hour. For you to think that you're going to win every single competition and make it to the end, you both played yourself, because that's not big brother. You had to have numbers and you need to have people. Sometimes I would get into fight with people, but I knew that I had to do damage control as soon as the fights were over. I knew that I had to rebond myself, explain why I did what I did, but at the same sense, when I made up with Elena, made up with Mark, I already knew that those seeds were planted in people's heads and they already had a target on their back. So I placed a target, had arguments in front of the whole house and called them out on their gameplay and then made up with them and kind of settled the waters. But people were already thinking and they already knew there was already a target on Elena, a target on Mark. So even though I fixed everything with them, that wasn't for the house. The house was already looking at them some type of way.
How did you feel about the about Christmas using the temptation to block Cody? Because she was looking for you to give her a sign.
Yeah, did you really blink, Josh? No, seriously. Think about this before you answer. Because like on the show, you kind of made it seem like, yeah, you did. But then it didn't seem like you really did. So did you really blink or not?
Guys, before we went into that, I told Paul and Christmas, if Cody is drawn, use the ring. Because at that point, I said, okay, the only
you fought
way,
it.
Yes, the, like, I said, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, we saw like right up until like maybe 10 minutes before the veto ceremony. So it would you would have had to tell them that in that 10 minutes where you said, okay, go ahead and use the ring. But we were all like I was like, there's no way they're going to use the ring because Josh said he doesn't want the ring used. Christmas doesn't want to use it. But then, you know, and Paul wanted it used. And then we come back from the veto ceremony and the ring was used. We're like, oh, my God, Paul's controlling the both of them.
This
but you're saying
sucks,
that that's
man.
Not
true.
Well, I can hear it in your voice that your ear. I mean, and rightfully so, your ear. Irritated by some of the perceptions the fans have of Paul being the mastermind over the entire house, and you were just one of his minions. So, go ahead.
Kudos to him. I mean, he got that edit. Good for him, dude. But I think that there's a lot of things. Now I want to watch back. There's a lot of things that aren't being shown. I told Christmas and Paul, if Cody is drawn, and they could vow for it if they want, if they don't want to, then that's fine. I told them, if Cody is drawn, then use the ring. Because at that point, then I'm going against Christmas and Paul, which were my closest allies.
Right.
But not only that, you know, he would be able to pull. I wanted Jess to pull herself off. I didn't want it to be where Cody that was out of my hand. If Cody was drawn, I had no choice but to use the ring, replace Cody, and then I'm good. And then it would have looked like I'm working with them or something like that, and it would have messed up my game.
Okay.
Jess had to save herself. That was the only way that she was going to stay. But once Cody got drawn, Cody was actually the first name that I drew. And I looked at Christmas. Yeah, I looked at Christmas and I said, do your thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I told her. I told both of them.
And she said, my turn.
Exactly. I really feel like your game took off, Josh, after you got through the first double eviction, because, you know, there was the week after Jessica was evicted on your HOH. Cody goes home, pretty non-eventful. And then the double eviction happens and Mark and Elena are on the block. Mark ultimately wins the veto. Elena goes home. And then the next week, isn't that the Christmas week where she wins? Yes, it is. Yeah. Somehow a girl with a broken leg wins a running competition. Yeah. So were you just, as a fan, were you just laughing the entire time thinking this is incredible? Or were you like, this is embarrassing, I can't believe I'm a part of this?
I was shocked that these people were literally doing this. I was like, holy shit. You guys are literally throwing this to us, throwing it to Paul, and then Paul's throwing it to us. But that's when I knew that Paul was literally no blood on his hands. He wanted people to take shots. I knew that, and I would voice that to Christmas, and I was getting shut down. But I knew that.
Yeah, saw that.
Yeah, like, and I saw
seriously. Our irritation with Christmas only grew from this point on, because every time you wanted to have a conversation about, I got doubts about Paul, I think he might be like having deals with everybody, she would just not listen to you. And it was like, I mean, it makes sense in hindsight, because apparently she has feelings for him, so maybe that was clouding her judgment. But at the time, we were like, how can you not listen to Josh, who is your ride or die? And I know you had to be thinking the same thing.
I was frustrated, guys. I'm to be completely honest, I was so frustrated, because she saw it, and I don't think it had to do with feelings. I think that as the person that Christmas is, she's extremely loyal as well, and she did not see it and she did not think it. But I knew, as a fan, man, I was seeing everything. I was seeing all these moves, the way that he was literally grouped up one minute with Jason and Alex and grouped up with Madam Raven, and it was like everybody's, you know, we're all doing this stuff, but Paul's not getting any blood on his hands. So props to him. You get me? That was awesome. But when I couldn't go against it was when I said, okay, I'm going to essentially turn on Christmas also if I turn on Paul.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm not going to come in between Jason and Alex. That's not going to happen. They're not going to take me to final two and final three. Matt and Raven, they're not going to go with me to final two and final three. So that's when I had to think, what's best for my game? Do I turn or do I stick by them and let it play out? And I had to stick by it and let it play out, because if not, I would have been targeted. And I don't see myself where I would have fit in with those other two alliances. So I had to, you know, take a step back and right, have her see it for herself.
Well, the point when I mean, and I agree with you there that you had to go let that go through. You had to let Jason be evicted. But the week that Jason was evicted was the first time that you really started to have doubts about Paul, about his position in the game, as far as, you know, right. Is he a Derek? Is he a Vanessa? Like, I need to be worried about him. And I know you were really, really irritated with Paul that he would not let you go to Jason and say, you know, there was that scene of you guys in the hot tub where you're breaking down.
Yeah.
And you want to tell Jason so bad, oh my God, I'm about to betray you. But Paul has stayed your hand and said, you know, no, you cannot tell him under any circumstances. Yeah. So you had this genius idea, which I think is actually underutilized, to use the goodbye messages as a way to shape your game. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I knew that I had to, people didn't see my game. I don't even think the fans saw my game, because it was all overlooked by all of Paul's thing. But I had to,
these guys didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I love these two. I love you guys. So it's awesome. And I love live features, because they literally see everything. So I had to find a way to let Jason know and let the other housemates know that I was staying. I think one thing that they respected was that I had balls and I didn't care, and I said how it was, but also how loyal I was. And I preached that the whole season. So I had to show Jason and show these people that I was playing this game and doing this because I decided to stick loyal by Paul and Christmas. And in a sense, expose what we had, because I knew that Paul was working his angles and he was making it seem like he wasn't working with us. And I picked up on that through conversations with Jason. I picked up on that through conversations with Alex, that he was making it seem like it was, man, Jason was so loose with the lips. He would be like, oh, I mean, he told me I was going to flip that vote. I don't know if they showed that either. I was on the fence about Jason and Kevin. And I said, I went to Jason and had the conversation with him. And I don't think it was shown because we were getting ready for live show. And I go, Jason, what where are me and you moving forward? Because I have no one. And he goes, I'm moving forward with Alex because she's my number one. I'm not going to turn on her now. And I don't think I could beat you in the end. I think that I can beat Paul because he's a vet. When I had that conversation with him in the parlor, that's when I said, Jason has to go because he's not going to take me to final two or final three. And I'm not going to continue to move forward with him because he's locked in with Paul and Alex. So I was really on the fence and I was torn. I was going to make an emotional move that week because I was leaning so much towards Jason. And I thought that we could have done some damage. And if I would have exposed how I had in my mind that I wanted to expose Paul's game and I could have done it, I thought, okay, I'm going to lean with Paul. I'll go towards Jason and Alex and Christmas. Right. But when I saw how blinded Jason was in Alex and I wasn't going to be able to persuade them or do anything to convince them of that, and I knew how good Paul was, I knew that there was no way of breaking that up. And he told me what I had to hear, basically, that right. I wasn't going to move forward with him, that I wasn't his number one or his number two. So that's why I decided to give him a boot.
Well, there was this great scene of you and Paul in the hammock. I think it took place actually a week or two later where you were talking about the goodbye messages and you're both just lying through your teeth to each other. Like, you know, you're like, Paul's like asking you, so what are you saying in your goodbye message? You're like, I'm still snowing him, telling him nothing, you know, of course that's not true. And Paul, on the other hand, is telling you that he's telling them the truth, which is not true. He's totally snowing them the entire time.
Yep. I knew it.
It was a great contrast in jury management.
It was funny because, and that's another thing, it was funny because he would always talk about, people don't need to know that me, you, and Christmas are working together until they watch back the show. I go, smart guy. I'm like, you're a smart dude because you're removing yourself and it's me and Christmas.
Right.
And that's funny. Another thing that I never said anywhere was, season 16, I saw how Derek was working people walking into jury as they were leaving. How he tried to work Victoria into like making it seem like they were distant so that they thought that he didn't have her vote. I saw the jury management that he was doing as people were walking. I had to do a different approach because I couldn't show my cards in the house because then Paul would target me. And I couldn't air him out because those people were not going to believe me. Essentially, I didn't have that control. So I knew that I had to go into diary rooms and expose my game, expose their game, and explain why is it the moves that I was making.
Okay.
So that was the route that I took, and that was strategy. And for people to say that it was cowardly, you obviously had
to. Well, only Paul said it was cowardly. Nobody else said it was.
I mean, people say that as a fan, I know the game of Big Brother, and I know that you can work it from every single angle. And for you to think that goodbye messages does not play a big role into jury management, you played yourself.
That's why, like, we talk about Paul saying, like, oh, don't watch your season back. Like, if he had watched his season back, maybe he would have realized that you can't lie to people
with your goodbye message. That he got to watch so many seasons of the show. I had another disadvantage that nobody was going to vote for me because I was a vet. And then I didn't get to see all of the seasons that he got to. Very Gumpy.
I'll tell you, I love the kid, dude. We're really good friends and we're going to continue to be good friends. Big Brother is a game. It's kind of like business where I can separate
That's
business
right.
and personal.
Right.
I love the kid. And okay. He is one of the friendship that we formed in that house was genuine. And we had each other's back a lot that he was playing his game and he was looking out for Paul, dude. And I would go in the DR and be like, man, Paul's just looking out for himself. Like, Paul's just looking out for Paul. But, you know, I'm going to stick by him until he turns on me. And I would say that in the DR. I don't know if they ever showed that. I doubt it. But I would always say that. And you know, he never threatened my game. And when he did, I'm telling you, I would have taken the shot, but I didn't have the opportunity to do it.
How aware were you of Paul's endgame plans? Because for a while, he was planning on going to the end with Alex and Jason. And at one point, he changed his mind. How on top of that were you?
I knew that. So I didn't know that he was actually going to go with them to the end, but I knew that he was. And I said this in the house. I'm pretty sure you saw it. I said, he's literally working it to where he's not being looked at. He's safe and he's protecting all corners and making sure if they win, well, they take a shot at them. If Raven wins, they'll take a shot at us.
Right.
So it was always Paul and the two. I knew that. I knew that for sure. And I knew that it wasn't, oh, he wanted to take us over them. I knew that he was doing it where like, oh, well, however it played out, I was going to be protected. I was going to be safe. And I was going to make it a final three. And I respect it. And I think that Christmas thought that it was us, you know, it was us and it was us three and it's us three against them. And he has to work that angle. I knew that he was working that angle just in case something went left. We would, and I would be essentially the one that was going to be, nobody was going to take Christmas out over me. So I knew that I was going to be the shot was going to be taken at me, but he was working it to where, however it played out, it was going to be to his benefit.
It seemed like you had to make a calculated call. I mean, on one hand, you wanted to, you know, you didn't want Paul to be covered everywhere and you to feel the one who's getting all the heat. On the other hand, to do something to upset that balance might have ultimately upset your entire place in the game. So it was sort of like a calculated risk where you're like, I know that Paul's doing this. I know that I'm probably going to get the heat if something goes wrong, but my larger place in the game is secure. As long as the worst case scenario doesn't happen and I'm willing to take that risk. That's how it felt to me.
And also, I was thinking in my mind, I was like, okay, so this is going to happen. This is what Paul wants to go down. The house is not going to go against him. How do I work this to the best of my advantage? So I said, go down the honest and truthful route. I'm going to go after Alex, but if I'm going to nominate her, I'm not going to blindside her because he wanted her to be blindsided. I said, I'm going to nominate her and tell her the truth. She is my target. She's a great competitor, and this is the only shot that I'm going to have. I decided to go straight forward. And that way, I knew that people would respect my game move and my game decision. Instead of blindsiding them and acting like I was their friends and all this stuff and be like, oh, yeah, Kevin's the target. I decided to be straightforward with her. I decided to be straightforward with Cody before he left and told them that Jess was not my target, that Elena was.
Right.
And I kind of not repaired, but I kind of that was like an olive branch. I repaired my relationship with Mark before he left.
Well, I think there was some grudging respect that was given to you.
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, like they were like, at least you were, I know Cody said, you know, the reason he ultimately voted for you was because you at least kept it real. He didn't really like either one of you, but you were real. Alex said when she stuck her key in the box that she's going to vote for the person who stabbed her in the front rather than the back. So it seemed like if that was your plan, then it was working.
That was my plan. I said, I'm going to be, I mean, they've known me for so long. I'm not going to change it up now. And I'm not going to play it to where I'm going to blindside them and do that because that's going to look bad on me. And if I'm going to take a shot, I have no option but to take the shot, but I'd rather be straightforward about it and be honest and have it be respected as a game move than a blindside on Alex where I did consider her a friend.
Right.
So
Josh, this is my biggest question of the night. This is the question that I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I want to hear it from you. So we're at about the final five, I think, and you decide to have a conversation with Christmas and you're going to tell her, look, I want to take you to the final two. And this whole time, I think you just assumed that you were going to go to the final two with Christmas, that she was going to take you, you were going to take her. And I want to, it's sort of a two-part question. Number one, how did you feel when you were having this conversation with her and she is saying to you, not only can I not promise to take you, Josh, to the final two, but if you win the final HOH, you should take Paul to the end. How are you feeling as a friend of hers and a final two ride or die? And how are you feeling as a fan? Like, can you believe this chick is actually telling me to not take her to the end?
Yeah. Funny thing is, as soon as I heard those words, instantly I go, she's not taking me to final two. That's instant. That's the exact thought that went through my mind. I said, she's not taking me to final two. She's
and
taking
she
Paul.
Would not have.
I know she's taking Paul. Okay. She's not taking me. So she, in her sense, she's protecting her. She protected herself with those comments. She didn't promise me anything. And, you know, she was straightforward about it. So I said, she didn't tell me she wasn't going to take me, but that was her way of telling me.
That was her way of telling me.
Going to me, I clicked, she's not taking me to
and
the
And that's
end.
Why, you know, I give you credit because you're a fan of the show and you know that when people say things like that, they're basically telling you without telling you. Somebody else who's not a fan of the show wouldn't have necessarily picked up on that.
I didn't need somebody to do an action twice, or I didn't need somebody to repeat themselves twice for me. You said something one time and I went with that. If you said, hey, I'm targeting you, boom. I went with that. I didn't question it. Okay. I didn't go ask somebody else. So I always went. Yeah.
So this is my question to you. Okay. Yeah. And I'm trying to be as honest about it as possible because I feel like if Christmas says to you, yes, Josh, we're going to the final two. I'm taking you to the final two. I feel like you do take her to the final two.
Yep.
I really do. I feel like that part of the reason that you did not take her to the final two and took Paul to the end was because you just liked, well, maybe not liked, you felt more loyalty with him, that was truer, and you were, your feelings were hurt when Christmas said what she said to you.
That's very true. I think that played a huge role into that. Not only that, before, when we were getting ready for live shows, Paul didn't see it. I pointed this out to him. Alex, and if you guys have Alex, ask her this question. She walks up to Christmas. Before she walks out, she gives her a rose that her mom sent her from Hawaii. And it was like, for me, it was an olive branch of like everything settled. For me, it was like, okay, this girl's, they're repairing their friendship. And I saw Alex and Christmas talking a lot. So I thought, okay. And she didn't want me to talk to Alex the whole week that she's like, don't go talk to her. Don't, why are you talking to her? She was panicking. So I was like, okay. So she's repairing her relationship with Alex. Before Kevin walks out, he shakes her hand. He goes, I wish you the best. And I hope that you make it till the end. When I saw those two actions, And then thinking back to what Christmas told me, I said, she's been working her angle with the people that are going to jury. And, you know, these people don't have anything against her because she didn't really piss anybody off. But not only that, she's not going to take me to the end.
Right.
So that was the deciding factor for me where I said, okay, I'm not taking Christmas. And wow. I would stand at like 2 a.m. right. at the memory wall. And I was driving myself nuts just looking at it. And I was like, okay, who would Christmas have over me? Who hates me in jury?
Here's the thing. I think that even if you thought you would have lost to Christmas, even if you saw like the rose and Kevin talking to her, even if all that stuff happens, I still think that you take her to the end if she doesn't have that conversation with you. If she says, you know what, Josh, I'm in it with you. I've been in it with you since the beginning. So, I guess I just want you to say, like, how bad of a move was that on her part?
I did tell her that, and I told her that. And I even told her if Paul, early before we even got to final two, if Paul started talking final two with me, just tell him I'm going to tell him everything he wants to hear. But you're my final two. I told her that.
Okay.
I don't know if she remembers it, but I did tell her that. I was like, just know you're my final two. You're my ride or die. I'm going with you. And those two, it was those three things. That conversation, those two actions that I saw was very split. And in that house, dude, everything counts. If I see you in that room talking to somebody that I don't trust and you're having a full-blown conversation with them, I don't even know what you're saying. I'm instantly going to go off based on that. So when I saw those actions with Alex and Kevin, and then that she gave me that. Okay. That was my deciding factor. Yeah,
but don't you feel like that's really like the smoking gun that she would never turn against Paul? That she was so gung ho about Paul at every turn.
I don't even know where I was blindsided by that. I don't even know where that came from. I was shocked, dude. But I mean, guys, it's 92 days, and all three of us build such a strong friendship and bond. People can say what they want about Paul, but I know that out of a lot of people in that house, I know that he gravitated towards us two a lot. He did build genuine friendships with other people, but we would sit down and talk about nonsense and just connect, and we could just sit there and not talk at all. And we built good friendships. So I think that from a friendship perspective, she protected us and she cared for us so much. Both of us.
She did.
That, you know, it was tearing at her heart a bit. So, yeah.
So what votes did you think you had against Paul going into the, because you just ultimately decided to take Paul because you think you can beat him. And you were looking at the votes. How did you think that was going to go?
You guys are going to laugh.
No, we know, Josh. Well, I already know the answer to this question. So go ahead and tell him the votes you thought you had.
I thought that I had Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, Alex,
mm-hmm.
Matt and Raven.
Yes.
Those are the votes that I – and then I said, oh, Kevin. Why? Because Kevin was one of the people that always saw my game. He's like, dude, you're adapting. You're doing so good at this game. You reinserted yourself. You're adapting. That's why I thought Kevin was such
you're
a
huge
fan.
You're doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, he's like, only a fan. Yeah, I'm like, only a fan can see this. Only a fan can see how quick I bounce back. And so I'm like, okay, Kevin's going to give me the vote because he's kind of seen the game that I played. But I knew that him and Paul were locked in, but damn, I didn't think that he was going to – I was surprised by that. I was surprised by Cody voting for me.
Mark and Elena. Yeah.
The whole votes, all the votes, how they played, I was just like, what?
Yeah, it was total. We were laughing because we knew you were going to take Paul to the end. A lot of the people who don't really watch the feeds were shocked when you won the final HOH competition. Number one, that you won, which I knew you could win. Number two, that you ultimately decided to not pull a Steve Moses and cut the head off the snake. You decided to take take the snake with you to the final two because you thought that you would have a better chance at him. But the votes that you were talking about getting, like, well, I know I have Raven and Matt because they don't want to see a vet win. And I know I have Jason. And we're like, girl, that ain't happening. Like, Matt and Raven are not voting for you.
Dude, Matt and Raven would constantly preach about how, oh, he's a vet. It's a disadvantage. You know, a vet can't win again. Things like that. And I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Right.
Like, yeah, I was shocked by it.
It was funny because one of your worries in the week that you took out Alex, was the one you took out Jason, was that Paul was going to like pull in Alex instead of Raven because you thought you had Raven. But we, as sitting at home watching the feeds, were like, this is Paul's biggest mistake is not keeping Raven because Raven was so loyal.
Blindly loyal.
I think that Raven was the person he could have beat in the end. In many ways, I think that taking
Raven. Taryn, I spoke to Raven at the finale and she said that she would have beaten Paul in the final two. That would have been a huge mistake for Paul.
You are the funniest man. I had a fan send me the clip of the Kool-Aid and I was dying, dude. Why do you have to do that? Oh god, that was epic. But
did Paul make cherry Kool-Aid in the house?
Never. He made the best friendship fries.
Yeah.
No, he did. I love.
We love Raven.
Love Raven. My heart, I texted her earlier.
Yes.
She's a good girl.
Raven is my butty butty. Yes.
My butty butty. Paul is my butty butty.
Guys, she's young, and I got love for her. And that was just funny. But yeah,
she's been through a lot.
Exactly. So, Josh, it's finale night. You heard the questions. You think there's before they reveal the votes? Did you think you had a chance?
Before they revealed it, I knew that people were gonna be bitter. Knew that people were going to be bitter towards him, and I knew that, and I knew the angle that I was working, and I knew that if I knew once I answered my questions, dude, I had that prepared probably.
Your questions were great. The line about your dad and the you letting people think that they have control over you.
That was my strategy, and exposing that I was a fan, exposing that I wanted people to have control over me and all that stuff. I knew that I was going to work that angle. But once he went, as soon as I drew him, I'm like, I've made a big mistake. I'm like, I made a mistake. I'm bringing Paul. I made a mistake. He's going to beat me. As soon as that first question dropped about the Elena asked him the question, and he went like that.
Yeah,
and she completely threw him off. We went into commercial break, and he panicked.
He was pissed.
He panicked. That's when I said, "This is my chance to fucking crush these. To crush it.
Right,
this is my chance to go and just own everything. Just own it. You get me? He was thrown off. He was completely thrown off with that first question, and then he got in this mood where it was like defense. It was a defense. It was a defense thing. So I was like, "Screw it. I'm just gonna answer the questions the best that I can." And I knew that some people were bitter, but I didn't think those votes were going to play out like that. No.
Okay. So you lose Christmas's vote. You lose Kevin's vote.
I lost.
Seriously, I know this because it's 4-2. I've watched this maybe 75 times. I've watched it. It's 4-2. And honestly, she's getting ready to read Mark's vote. She said Mark's vote goes to you. Look, this is the only time where you looked over at Paul and you were like smiling at him like, okay, you got it. You got it. Yeah, exactly.
And I would have been happy, dude. I would have been happy.
I know you would have been happy.
You worked your ass off. I would have been happy.
Yes.
I won $50,000.
I talked to Arissa Cox, who hosts Big Brother Canada, and we were talking about this. We could see that you would have been happy with $50,000. You were just so happy to be there. And honestly, that's why I was so excited when you ultimately did win, because I knew that it meant a lot to you.
Even when I stopped I wasn't, man, my nerves were bad.
You forgot Orwell.
I forgot Orwell. I forgot my speech. I forgot everything, but I was in shock. And I'm like, dude, this is happening. Like, I dreamt about this moment. I saw Steve's moment. I saw season 6. I watched these people in final two. And I'm like, even when I was on the balancing, I was like, dude, this is happening. Like, my dream is happening. I was in complete shock. And I was just completely grateful. That was the shock that I had. So then when I heard my name, I was like, what is going on? So even if I would have won or lost, even if I would have lost, I was going to be happy for the kid because he worked hard. He worked his ass off all season. But I was happy that I made it to that final two and that I was living a dream, dude, because I envisioned that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this question then. And I'm going to preface this by saying a couple things. So Mark and Elena and Jason, in their interviews after the show, they said that Paul played the better game. They just said but they didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question to you is this. Do you think that it's more true that you won the game, or do you think it's more true that Paul lost the game?
Okay. Great question. Big brother is big brother. The game doesn't stop until you walk out of that door. If there was a bitter jury, you made that jury bitter, buddy.
That's what I want to hear.
So guess what? That's my advantage.
Okay.
This is where I win. This is where my DRs work to my advantage. This is where my speech worked to my advantage. This is where I played a loyal, straightforward, honest game, and I didn't give a shit. I wore my heart and my balls on my sleeve, and people liked that. Okay. A lot of people played scared and played it safe on season 19.
Yes,
and I think a lot of people would have wished that they would have stood up. And even though they won't say it, they would have wished that they didn't stand behind someone and they would have voiced their opinion like I did. And I think that me walking out and Cody said something. He said that he respected that I wasn't hiding behind the curtain and I was up front and center in everybody's face. That he respected that and a lot of viewers respected that. I walk away happy. The game doesn't stop. As a fan, I know the game doesn't stop until you walk out. You could be the biggest competitor. You could be the most hated. But just know that you got to work every single angle. And if you didn't do jury management, then you failed at one big aspect of the game.
Okay. That's a great answer, Josh.
But if we're talking game, that's the game. I won because I won Big Brother because I worked every single angle and I made sure that I did jury management. And that's why I won Big Brother.
Do you think that if Paul had owned his game that he would have beaten you?
Hands down. He would have beaten me. He would have beaten me. He would have said, guys, I had to do it. He would have pulled an Andy from season 15. Andy was hated. Andy was the snake. But Andy stood there and he owned it. And I think that if he would have done that, I think that I would have lost him.
That's great, Josh, because we had Andy on the show. And was it finale night, Taryn? Or no, it wasn't finale. It was right before. Yeah, exactly. And he was talking about this, like, you know, how when he – because we knew that Paul was lying in his goodbye messages. And Andy was just, like, gassed. Like, why is he doing this? Yeah. And he thought for sure he was going to get caught at the end. And he was like, you know, when I was on the show and, you know, people were mad at me for the moves that I did. Yes, I did betray you. But this is why I had to do it, because you were so great, you know. Yeah. And he owned it that way. And Paul just didn't seem to have an ability to do that. And you did.
Yeah, I could have. I mean, I don't know if they showed how I locked in with Jason and Alex day one, week one. I locked in with them. And to my advantage, people could say, oh, Paul controlled everything. I went to Jason and Alex and I told them, did you guys, they wanted to take a shot at Paul week three. And I said, did you? And Cody had them fooled, dude. Cody, not fooled, but Cody had Jason and Alex. And I was the one that said, guys, did you guys watch Paul? Because he's extremely loyal. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's friendly and social with everybody. But right. Paul is loyal. To find loyalty in this house, that's huge. I opened that relationship.
That was the point when Jason was voicing a lot of doubts about, well, why do we have to run everything past Paul? And why does Paul get a say in all of this? So I can buy that that they were, at least Jason was very dubious about Paul. But maybe Alex, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I opened that relationship to where he formed that relationship with Jason and Alex. He would have done it, but I said how loyal he was and how, you know, he would stick by you, and they started that relationship. I aligned with the right people. Jason, Alex, Paul, and Christmas. We won all the HOHs besides Jess and Cody's week.
Josh,
so, yeah.
Have you and Paul had any sort of conversation about this type of the way that the jury was voting, like the stuff that you're talking about now? Because when I spoke to him on finale night, he didn't really seem receptive to this idea that he had misplayed anything in terms of jury management. He kept saying, what was I supposed to do? Go give my whole game away? That it wouldn't have worked if he would have done any of the things that we're talking about. Do you know, has he changed his opinion on any of these things since the month or so that's gone by since the finale?
No, to be honest with you, if we can be completely honest, from the moment that we walked out, the game was done. The game was done. I think that now, you know, we have the interviews and you have the fans that love it and are involved. But when you play it, dude, you're exhausted with with the game. We have not had that conversation, but we don't want to have that conversation. I think that we have a friendship, and I think that we're going to continue to have that friendship. And what happened, happened. And he has his perspective, and I have mine. But at the end of the day, we can't change what happened. You know, I ended up winning, and I won, and I have my reasoning behind why I think I won. But hands down, Paul will go down as one of the best players to play Big Brother. He played a great game, and he will be remembered for the game that he played. People can hate him. People can love him. But they cannot ignore the fact that he played an amazing game, and he had a lot of people fooled. Luckily, I always saw through that, and I always saw the game. But Paul never gave me a reason to go against him. I gave him my loyalty. He thought he could beat me at the end, and that's why he said he took me there when I was the deciding factor, and I took him there. Right. But
I always thought given what you were saying during the week that Jason went home and then the week that Alex went home when you were HOH at Final Five, because you were thinking about getting rid of Paul at that point, or at least considering the idea, I thought, and you were always saying, you know what, I'm going to go to the Final Three and I'm going to cut Paul and take Christmas to the end. I thought Paul was lucky to at least get $50,000 out of it, you know, never mind $500,000.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that none of us want to watch back. I'm going to watch some episodes and things like that. None of us want to watch back. We lived it. It was exhausting. It's mentally draining. But I think that he should be proud of the game that he played. He played a hell of a game.
He should be. He's
going to go down. Right now, the hype is that, oh, he played this shady game. Guys, he played Big Brother. He had no option but to play that aggressive game. I was my first time around, so I could have played a more naive game where I'm being used and people have me in their pocket. And if I would have gone head to head with Paul, I would have gone home. So I knew that I had to play that angle because that was the best of my benefit. And that was the hand that I was dealt. If he would have really opposed a threat to me, it would have been a whole different ball game. And I don't think I would have made it to Final Two, but nobody but that kid promised me Final Two. So I stayed true to who I was, and I sat with him in the end, and I won.
And you could have done him the biggest favor in the world by voting him out third, because then he would have been able to walk away from the season talking about how he should have been the person to win. Everybody would have been on board with that. You know, if you could have still won again versus Christmas, I think it would have been pretty close. But that really would have been the best thing you could have done for him, was take him out at third.
Because then he wouldn't have had to deal with the fact that he lost another 5-4 vote.
You would have won if you got there.
Yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, I know, right?
What would you say? What would you say to? I mean, even people like Mark and Elena that say that Paul played a better game than you. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree?
I think that I think that everybody had the opportunity to play the game that they had to play. Everybody was dealt their hand. Paul had to play an aggressive game, and he had to play all those angles because he was a huge target. This was my first time around. Nobody has ever seen me play the game, so I had to play a naive game. Everybody thought that I was a recruit because that's what I instilled in everybody's mind. Hey, I'm just here to have fun. I'm just a crazy kid from Miami that got lucky on a TV show. No, I was a fan. I knew the game. I saw everybody's game, and I was exposing and placing targets on everybody's back. Everybody thought that I was just fighting with everybody, and I was a nutcase. No, I was calling you out because I wanted all eyes to always be on the people that I wanted out. I wanted Mark out because Mark, I saw how good he was socially, how he inserted himself so well with people, and how he was getting close to Jason. He had Cody. He had Paul. So I always had a target.
It seems to me like you feel like that you did play the better game. Paul might have played the more aggressive game, but you played the better game because you got the votes at the end.
I played the game. I played the hand that I was dealt. I adapted to the game, and I saw what is going to be the best strategy for me to move forward in this game. I adapted each week, and I did what was best for my game each week. If I had to lay low, I did. If I had to call somebody out, I did. So did he play a better game? If that's people's perspective, then he did. He played a more aggressive, intense, upfront game. But essentially, if I fooled most of those people to think that I was just this crazy kid, and I honestly knew the game, and I downplayed myself, and, you know, they didn't catch on to it. And I think that I played just as good of – we made it to the end.
Right. You made it to the end. Exactly.
We made it to the end. They didn't make it. So the best people that played the game were me and Paul.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
You're a fan of the show. So, you know, we do winner rankings all the time. Yeah. Where would you place yourself in the winner rankings of Big Brother?
Listen, let's not even go there. I'm not big-headed.
That's the right answer, Josh.
Yeah. I'm not gassed up on myself. We have great winners. We have great winners. I might go down as number 19. I really don't give a shit, but guess what? I'm in that ranking.
Higher or lower than Eddie from season one?
Higher.
No, higher. Okay, there you go.
Yes.
All right. Here, I want to get into some of these questions from the fans. If there's anything that the fans asked us that we've already covered, we'll just skip right through it. Taryn, did you have anything else on your list that you, I want to make sure that we got to all your questions too?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Jump right in if you have anything else. Okay. This is the stuff that the fans have sent us in live here today. Ashley wants to know, can you ask Josh why he chose to team up with Christmas? From the outside, they seem like an odd pairing at first. And we got a lot of these questions, so that we could do a little bit of rapid fire.
A lot of people were playing Big Brother and forgot that you had to build relationships and build social connections in order to move forward in the game. I instantly built that with Christmas on week one. She's the only one that actually cared for me when I was going nuts and going crazy, and she was always there for me. So once I went into that house, if you watch my pre-show interviews, I said, I want to downplay my intelligence in the game and have people think that they can control me. And I also want to build genuine connections and see which people give me loyalty, and in return, I'll give the same. Christmas gave me that, Paul gave me that, and Jason and Alex gave me that. And those are the people that I stuck by the whole game.
Okay. This is a question that's from Sean, who says, Josh, if Paul used the veto on Kevin in the Final Four and Kevin voted you out, who would you voted for in the end if it was Paul or Christmas?
Paul.
Okay.
Hands down.
Hands down. Yeah. Okay. Greg says, Josh, at any point in the house, did you get an inkling America had turned on Paul and no longer liked him? Now, again, I don't know if that's a blanket statement, but did you get the sense that the audience, a lot of the people, how so?
I said it to production. I said it to production in the DR once I didn't use the veto on Raven. When I didn't use the veto on Raven and I heard the crowd go, oh, I said, whoa. And I went inside and I'm like, guys, I think America wants me to turn on Paul. Because all week I was talking about I might take the shot. If I had the shot, I'll have the opportunity to take the shot. And when I didn't use that veto because I wanted to protect Christmas and Paul and myself, that's when I realized. And that's when I started. I didn't know for sure, but I started thinking about it. And I was like, okay.
Right.
I think people want this to go a different route.
That's really interesting because we hear about that a lot in terms of Big Brother Canada with, you know, especially with Netta and Ika this past season. But we don't hear it a lot in the U.S. version.
Yeah, I mean, that the crowd just went, oh, like the whole crowd, you heard it in the house. And I instantly was like, that's weird. Like, why would Raven? What? So that's when I started thinking it has to be Paul, because I was talking all week that I would take that movie. If I had the shot, I would take the movie and I would do that.
Did that influence your vote that night then?
No. The vote was strategic. I knew that Paul and Christmas were going to vote to evict Kevin, and I did that rogue vote to
when Raven when you didn't use the veto on Raven, and then you voted to keep Raven, right?
Josh voted out Kevin, the other two, Paul and Christmas voted out Raven.
Paul and Christmas voted out Raven, and it was strategic for me to vote out Kevin because I wanted Raven to think, you know, that I wanted to keep her, and it was on them. That was strategy, and Paul knew it right off the bat. He's like, he did that for his game. And then I went into the DR and I said,
"They really let you have that. Paul and Christmas, they would not let you live that down. That you actually you went against the team, which I couldn't. If Christmas said team one more time, I want to throw my computer in the street.
Right.
Well, it was funny because Raven left the game thinking that Paul had voted to keep her.
That comes into this next question then, because Mike Zahn asks on Twitter, Josh, you said on the feeds that you had Maven's vote versus Paul. Were you shocked to learn that they were campaigning for Paul in the jury house?
If those people were saying in the house that, you know, they didn't want to see a vet win, I knew that they were extremely close. I didn't know that they were so naive to his game, man. I didn't think so. Matt would literally sit back and observe. At least I thought he was observing. So I thought that he was a little bit onto Paul's game because he was onto mine. He was like, hey, Josh is not as dumb as we think he is. Hey, Josh is not as bad as comp as he was always onto what I was doing. So I was like, oh, he's seeing Paul's game. I thought that they would vote for me. And even before Matt left, I told Matt, Matt, you know, the Donatos, because he would always reference the Pots and Pants, the Evo Dick. I'm like, listen, the Donatos are some of my favorite plays, and I'm a fan of the show. He was shocked on live show before. He was like, what? So I'm like, okay, so I think I have Matt and all that stuff. And just to know that they were rallying for him, I mean, good for them, dude.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Scott St. Pierre is asking us a question that this is from. Did you
Speaking
know
of
that
the Pots and Pans?
Pots and Pans theme was part of the public domain, so production wouldn't say anything. Yeah, the song that you chose, was that intentional to come in with the circus music?
No, production would literally shut me down every single time that I would play it. Like, stop singing, stop that. And then I guess it caught hype with the fans, and then they started letting me, and they're like, and the girls are like, do your thing. So I was like, I would do my thing, and they would let me, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm guessing that it's fine now. But in the beginning, they would not. That started with the pool games, and I would try to throw Mark off his game, and I was like, da 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 da, and they would stop me all the time. And then once they started there was definitely a point in time
where they stopped it, and you basically could do it. You had carte blanche to do whatever you wanted to as far as that song goes.
Yeah.
Stacked wants to know, can you verify if everyone in jury saw all the goodbye messages off camera? Did anybody tell them? Well, in the finale, Julie played it like, oh, look at all these goodbye messages. But I know that there was at least a couple that we didn't see on the live show of things that you were saying. So do you know who got to see your goodbye messages and who didn't?
Everybody saw the goodbye messages.
See, Brett, I feel like that there's a mystery here with when they get to see them.
They see them when they, I think.
We need to talk to some of the losers.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can get into that. But yeah, they did see the goodbye messages.
Okay.
Oh, God. Rob, this is from Cam Perry, who's on my team for So You Think You Can Podcast. He said, if Josh had another chance to play the game, like if they brought you back next year, Josh, what would you do differently?
I obviously can't play a naive game, and I can't, play the dumb role or have somebody controlling me, because America knows that already, and the fans are going to know that. That's the thing. Paul had to play an aggressive game, and I think if I do get the opportunity to play again, I'm going to have to play a way more aggressive game. Would I make it as far as he did? Hell no. I think that I would be evicted pre-jury. I really do think I'll be evicted pre-jury, but I won't go around definitely not going around with the pots and pans and going crazy and all that stuff unless I have to.
Right.
But yeah, definitely play a more aggressive game and not, have people think that I'm in their back pocket, be more upfront.
I feel you would have a little bit more agency in the game. Like you'd feel like, you know what? I'm a player here and I'm a winner and I'm not going to be talked down to by these other people. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, the funny thing is that I would let people do that. I would let Alex think. She would be like, oh, I got you to. I was like, okay, you can think that. I literally did not care what people thought. If they thought that they were using me, that I sucked, that I wasn't a competitor, that I wasn't that. That was all an advantage for me to continue to move forward because they weren't threatened by me. So I didn't care. But I can't play that angle. I would have to play a more. And that was strategy. That was a strategic gameplay where I just sat back and I play naive and I let them think that they had control of me and all that. I think that I would have to play a more aggressive and more upfront game.
Taryn?
Will you at least watch your season back if you are asked back, unlike some people who don't want to?
I am going to watch my season back. Fans continue to ask me to watch back and watch back. I am going to watch back. I'll probably do you now. I'm going to pick episodes here and there.
Okay.
Right now, for sure not.
The house, though, if you go back into the house, you need to watch everything because you need to see what happened. You need to see what you did wrong.
Yeah, so Josh, you won the game, but you didn't play a perfect game. I mean, I'm a fan of you.
Oh, yes. 100%. Actually, I agree with you. I did not play a perfect game.
It might be more helpful. Will you go back and listen to every day of Taryn's live feed update of 80 some odd days of live feeds that we got?
Deal.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say, Josh, that going into the finale, I had you winning 5-4, and this guy over here had
losing. Perfect though,
8-1. Yeah, thank you.
8-1.
That's because there were leaks, and he took the leaks into account.
I took the leak. I knew that the jury house was bitter. So
he played himself.
Taryn played himself. Okay. Is a question from Stacked. Was Josh concerned about Raven getting too far in the game and getting a sympathy vote? That something that was talked about?
Yeah, we want to know this because like it seemed like you guys were getting irritated with Raven in the house. Yeah. You were saying, I don't believe this girl, all the things, she's driving me crazy. But yet everybody seemed so concerned about her getting to the end. So where's the truth in that?
I think that, we all were. This is how I looked at Raven because I've dealt with people that are like her family members and friends and things like that. I think that Raven's really young. And I think that being on TV and all that, you yearn for attention and you want attention and all this stuff.
Sure.
And I think that she's young, man. And I drove people nuts. She drove people nuts, and she would get annoying at times. But I think that people were scared to voice that because they felt like she was sensitive and they didn't want to hurt her feelings. That's exactly how I felt. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Sometimes I wanted to be like, hey, Raven, come on.
If she got to the end against anybody, could she have gotten your vote?
I think that my vote, no.
Okay.
No, not my vote. But I think if Raven would have been next to me at the end, I think Raven could have beaten me.
I don't know.
Maybe. It was definitely. What the hell? I don't know. I think that the sympathy thing was definitely going through the back of my mind, and I was like, okay, she's gonna get sympathy votes at the end.
Okay,
and
I
have to get her out. Yeah.
Sounds like a yes, Taryn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from Jeff.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it?
Yes!
Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
I would beat the shit out of a big mosquito with pots and pans and meatballs.
Yeah, the pans would actually be really effective on the mosquitoes.
Yeah. That was an awesome question. I remember that.
we had a lot of fun with that.
Favorite. Yeah, that never gets old.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, how would Cameron have done if he stayed in the house instead of Paul coming in?
Oh, Cameron would have left. Yeah, Cameron would have left week one.
Oh, it was that bad?
Cameron was an oddball, dude. Cameron was, from the moment he walked, dude, he was doing a strip tease. He would walk up to you. I'll give you loyalty. You have my word. I promise you're my boy. You're my dude. I'm not going to turn against you. Fool, you don't know me. You don't know me. What are you saying?
Yeah, it was a great draft there, Taryn. Good job with that one.
Well, hey. Speaking of Cameron,
what a segue.
I just talked to him for the Taryn Show, which will be released later tonight. And he has a very different story.
Okay, so, this is such a good bookend of the first person out and the last person out of the house.
Yeah, Cameron would have left, dude. He was a little odd and a little awkward, but I mean, it was the first few hours. So what do you expect? I was odd, awkward, and crazy.
Right.
So I'm like, I can't blame the kid.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Taryn, any other questions for Josh?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh, I want to say, you know, I went back and watched the first episode because I honestly couldn't remember if you hit the button for the $25,000 or not. You did not. And you said in the diary room that you didn't come for $25,000. You came for $500,000. And honey,
boom.
Yeah.
Josh, it was a big deal on, I should say a big deal, but at least the story. When Paul slapped you in the face, it was reported on TMZ about how Paul slapped another Big Brother contestant across the face. What was it like coming out of the house and learning things like that?
That was such a joke. In the backyard interview, they said that, like, you were on TMZ for this and that. I'm like, dude, that's a joke. People don't realize 92 days, 24 hours, no phones, no distractions, nothing. You build genuine relationships and friendships, dude. That's how me and my brother, you know, we go around and we'll slap each other and things like that. Me and Paul became really close and built a genuine good friendship. I don't think that was his intent to slap me and shit like that. It was like kind of like, you know, like a love tap or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that it was blown out of proportion. And
blown out of proportion because the fans at that point were so anti-Paul. They wanted anything to get him out of the house. They would have like grabbed onto. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of Paul, but even I could tell that it was much ado about nothing.
Josh, have you offered to Paul if he goes back for a third season, will you give him any coaching before he goes back into the game for a third time?
No, I don't. Man, the kid's crazy enough that he will jump back in there for a third time. I don't think that I think that he will learn off of some of the mistakes that he did. And I think that he's one of the smartest people I know. And I think that he played a great game. I don't think he needs any coaching from anyone. I think that he knows exactly what he would need to do.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, I think that he'll make it a final three again.
Maybe. Hopefully. I'm hoping I have one season off from Paul. Yeah, Josh. Yeah. Josh, I had one more question. A lot of people on my Twitter feed are very concerned about this trip. They're very concerned about your money, Josh. They want you to hold on to it. They're very concerned about you paying for Paul and Christmas to go on some trip together. So is Christmas going to does she have the entire itinerary planned, or are you going to have some say in this?
Guys, oh God, this is a joke.
This is what I get, Josh. These are the questions America wants.
We are definitely going to take trips together. We're definitely going to go and travel together. But we never said, oh, but they're going to pay for the whole thing. I'm extremely smart with my money. Okay. I'm like a bank. And right now I'm letting it sit. And there's time. I don't need to rush into anything. We're definitely going to travel. But, you know, they're going to bring their own money. It's not like I'm going to be splurging.
Watch the season first. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, actually,
do that first. Watch the season.
Josh, Taryn did an interview with Ian Terry on the Taryn Show that you might find enjoyable, because he talked about winning the money and, you know, like what that's like and what he ultimately did with it. And he still has most of it saved and put away. So, I think everybody would love to see that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's just give you guys a quick heads up about what's coming up. Lots of stuff going on post-show recaps, including Fear the Walking Dead, the latest Star Trek, Mr. Robot's coming back, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Lots of stuff going on there on our sister site for Scripted TV. Post-show recaps. You missed a lot of good TV this summer as well, Josh. Check out the Taryn Show. Cameron is going to be joining Taryn. Can you give us anything juicy from your interview with Cameron, Taryn?
We discovered his sister is a mastermind. He talked all about the devastating disappointment of leaving the house after 12 hours. It was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed the talk with Cameron. Yeah.
Okay. Plus all of our Survivor coverage. Josh, do you watch any Survivor?
I have not. I've seen a few episodes, but I'm going to jump on this season because it sounds good. And they keep comparing this guy to me, Alan. I keep getting mentions in my tweet. I'm like, I don't know what's going on with Alan.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on with Alan?
But Alan Meatball. So that's right.
The Meatball. So I'm definitely going to watch this season and see what's going on with him.
Okay. Check out the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris from this weekend, with special guest Ali Lasher, plus David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis talk about why the latest play are Lost spoiler free since 2003. And of course, Akiva Whitaker joined me on the voicemails this week for a mini Survivor hot takeoff and much more. And then tomorrow, Wednesday night, I'll be back with Stephen Fishback live on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. All when you subscribe to robinswebsite.com/iTunes. All right, Josh, thank you so much. This was really fantastic to go through everything with you. We have a hashtag for everybody that made it to the end of this interview?
The hashtag?
Yeah, what's the hashtag?
We're looking for a hashtag. He always puts a hashtag at the end of the episode, Josh. So anything you want it to be, as long as it's clean.
Hashtag, they all played themselves.
Okay. Or Taryn played himself.
Yeah.
They all played themselves. Okay. Hey, right. Thank you. Guys, this was fun, man. I really enjoyed this.
All right, great stuff.
Able to break everything down.
Josh, okay, so why don't you give out the information for your event coming up and anything else you want to promote?
So I will be, first of all, I'm coming out on The Bold and the Beautiful. I don't know if you guys watch it, October 24th, but I'm going to be in Edmonton, Canada on October 20th at The Ranch, hosting a party out there. It's a meatball madness. It's going to be fun. Then I'm going to be at the Edmonton Mall. Also, we're going to have a meet and greet there, and then at Cowboys in Calgary. So it's going to be fun.
Okay. Check that all out. And then what are those social media handles?
Social media. My Instagram is Josh_Martinez_.
Facebook, two underscores. Josh.
Two underscores. They stole my name.
You played yourself. That's terrible.
I played myself big time. My Facebook is JoshBB19. Twitter, JoshMBB19.
Okay. All right. Great stuff, Josh. All right. Brent, Taryn, excellent work as per usual.
Great interview, Josh. You really had a lot of energy, a lot of fun. You seem like the heaviness of the game is behind you. You're just here to have a great time. But you spoke honestly to most of the things that I had questions about. So I really appreciate that. Great job.
Thank you, guys. You guys were awesome, dude. And I heard you guys were fans. So, I mean, you can have me on whenever.
Yeah, okay. we'll have you back next season, or even for a Celebrity Big Brother, you can come on and recap a show with us.
Dope, let's do it.
Okay.
All right
great
guys.
Stuff. Taryn, anything else?
No, I'm just happy to be talking Big Brother. I've missed it.
Okay.
All right. my heart.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Have a great night. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye, guys.